John the Revelator wrote the book of the seventh seal. Who's that writing? John the Revelator. Tell me, who's that writing? John the Revelator. Well, who's that writing? John the Revelator wrote the book of the seventh seal. You know, God walked down in the cool of the day, called Adam by his name. And he refused to answer because he's naked and ashamed. Who's that writing? John the Revelator. Who's that writing? John the Revelator. Who's that writing?
Eddie James' Son House was one of the fathers of Mississippi Delta Blues. He was a preacher in his early life, and his faith expressed itself through his distinctive slide guitar style on the point clarity of his lyrics. But John the Revelator, you heard the first few little bits of it there, is sung unaccompanied. It's stark, it's simple. In 3 4-line verses, it encapsulates the essence of salvation history. It opens, as you heard, with God walking in the Garden of Eden, calling Adam, and Adam refuses to answer because he's realized he's naked and he's ashamed. In verse 2, Jesus takes 3 disciples aside, asking them to watch while he prays. As we know, they fall asleep. Finally, when Christ is resurrected, Mary and Martha strike out to see him and are commissioned as the first evangelists. With this chorus describing John writing the book of the seven seals, the song takes us from Genesis to Revelation in under 3 minutes. The whole Bible, amazing. Adam causes the fall of all humanity. There's no mention of Eve in Sonhouse's version. And men, the dominant force in society, continue to disobey the Lord's command, sleeping on the job. So it's left in the end to the women to be the agents of God's message of redemption. In John's gospel, in his resurrection narrative, Jesus asked Mary Magdalene not to touch him, implying that she's already doing so. In verse 9 of today's gospel reading, which Carey read just a minute ago, Matthew goes much further, clearly stating that the women took hold of Jesus' feet and worshipped him. Such a detail brings home that what has occurred is something that's very physical, very tangible. Jesus was dead. Now Jesus is alive. It's no mass hallucination. It's no spiritual gloss. It's a corporeal reality. Those feet that the women hold on to are the feet that they've washed and cleaned many times after a day tramping dusty Palestinian roads. They know each unique bump, scar, mark, wrinkle, whatever. Jesus' feet are a crucial indicator to them of his identity. They cannot be impersonated. Perhaps that's why Jesus entrusts initial knowledge of the resurrection to them. He knows they'll get it more quickly than the men, because they have prior knowledge that ties up with the evidence now in front of them. Counterculturally, then, it's possible that Jesus views women as the more reliable witnesses. His resurrection's already shattered the natural order. Now he subverts cultural norms. And Mary's Magnificat, those words sung when Jesus was in his mother's womb so many years before, are made manifest by his actions. Women, the unregarded, disenfranchised members of society, are charged with becoming the primary witnesses. Those deemed lowly, rising to become the founders of the church, evangelists, even to the apostles. The initial reaction of the women, disciples, to the events taking place around them is honest, raging fear. Perfectly natural. But they hold their ground. The simple human contact and care that they have previously offered has prepared them for this transformative opportunity to meet God, to understand the truth of the gospel, and be commissioned to pass it on. Sonhaus's song, John the Revelator, returns us to the fall, to why Jesus' dying and rising were necessary. Women appear as part of the solution and God's new order, a message he derived directly from today's gospel reading. This passage we heard from Matthew provides more detail. And when the women take hold of Christ's feet, we are reminded of the sheer physicality of the resurrection. In an age driven by, supposedly, scientific rationalism, it's often tempting to be apologetic about what's perceived to be scant measurable proof of the resurrection, to explain it away in spiritual and esoteric terms. However, our Gospels are clear that those who met the risen Christ thought he was risen indeed. They found physical, observable, tangible proof, as well as the radical remodeling of natural and social hierarchies. This revolutionary cosmic transformation is the Magnificat in action, new life blossoming, not as the servant of worldly elites, but with explosive generosity amongst those whom society deems to be worth less. Those who are outcast, those who are voiceless, those who are poor. And when we try to live as Easter people indeed we are, perhaps our starting point should be, like the women at the tomb, simple, tangible acts of caring and contact that sing loudly with the hope, joy, and challenge of resurrection. May that be true of us, God's Easter people, this Eastertide and every day. Amen.
You know Christ had 12 apostles, and 3 he led away. Say, watch with me 1 hour till I go yon and pray. Tell me who's that running, John the Revelator.